The parades and parties are over. Now the work begins. Not only were President Bush and Vice President Cheney sworn in over the weekend, so were half a dozen cabinet members. Tomorrow, the president will present Congress with an education reform package. Joining me now are NPR's Cokie Roberts and reporter Wayne Slater of the Dallas Morning News. Good morning.
Morning, Bob.
Good morning, Bob.
There were some protest demonstrations over the weekend. It wasn't all celebration. Wayne, how's the president likely to respond to those demonstrations?
Well, you know, he understands this is part of the process, part of the free expression is part of the American way. I know during the campaign when a group of protesters would dog his efforts and interrupt his speeches sometimes, generally these were anti-death penalty folks, he would always deal with it fine as the as folks were being hauled away. He'd say, look, this is what America is all about. Freedom of expression is something that makes this country great. I have to say that at one point, while he was governor, he had a group of protesters in front of the mansion hauled away and taken to jail. They ended up suing, won $99,000 from the state, mostly for legal fees, and so he's sensitive to the issue. That never happened again.
That got his attention, did it? But, you know, on the broader question, though, Bob, I'm not sure that Republicans in general are getting the depth of feeling that's still there as a result of the post-election. Now, at some point, the Democrats have to get over it because, you know, George Bush is president and they do have to get to work. But one Republican senator came into the rotunda where I was during the inauguration right after the speech was over and said to me, you know, those Democrats just don't seem to understand the election's over. They didn't clap very much. Now, of course, it was freezing out there. But I really think that there's still a sense on the Republican side that we've won this thing, now let's move on. And on the Democratic side of, hold on, you didn't win it really so big. If you won it at all, we have much more of a say than we normally would.
So will President Bush have to scale back some of his proposals because of the closeness of the election?
Sure doesn't look like he's ready to. The education bill that goes up tomorrow is likely to have vouchers. He's already got a Democratic senator signed on to his $1.6 trillion tax cut. So it looks to me like he's just plowing ahead. But Wayne, you know his legislative style a lot better than I do.
That is exactly what he'll do. He'll plow ahead. He ran for 18 months on a particular set of issues, and that's exactly what he's going to press now. Interestingly enough, the voucher plan was something that he pushed in Texas and was never able to win. I remember asking him about how come his little brother was successful winning the voucher plan in Florida. And
he appreciated that.
No, he was very annoyed by the question. But you know, the goal here on something like the voucher plan, as an example, is you change the vocabulary. You never use the word vouchers. You begin to compare the plan with a Pell Grant, something existing. And in the end, whatever happens, you take what you can get and you declare victory.
That was actually what I was wondering, because it does seem that that has, from my looking at his Texas style, that that has been what he's done. But he makes a big point about giving credit to other people, too. How does he both declare victory and give everybody else the credit?
Well, I remember one of the few times where the governor's staff, actually Karen Hughes, called me and really chewed me out was right after the first legislative session in 1995, when I had done a post-session interview. And in the story seemed, at least from their point of view, to say that Bush was saying, I won all this stuff. The governor was very annoyed because he didn't think the story reflected his expression that Democrats helped. It was both Democrats and Republicans. The truth is, if he comes out there in the end and talks about a compromise package, some of it his stuff, some of it their stuff, all of it each other's victory, then nobody's going to complain, and you just get away with it. Mm.
Cokie, what's happening with the cabinet nominees John Ashcroft and Gail Norton?
It looks like they will succeed in their confirmations. Again, Zell Miller, the Democrat from Georgia, has said that he will support Ashcroft. That's significant because Georgia is a state with a very large African-American vote. And, of course, that's where much of the opposition to Ashcroft has come from. Senator Robert Byrd has also said that he would support him. So it looks like that nomination will succeed. And Gail Norton did a very good job in her confirmation hearings. I think that that both of them, I mean, Democrats are complaining about confirmation conversions, But that's part of the point of the hearings, is to get people on the record saying things that then they are in a position that they need to follow through on or be charged with hypocrisy.
One appointee withdrew. Linda Chavez, who was the president's nominee for Secretary of Labor originally. Wayne, was that a learning experience for the new administration?
Well, I think it was. I think they learned yet to ask maybe three or four more questions before you initiate somebody as part of your administration. But I have to say, not only was it a learning experience, I get the sense, talking to Bush folks, that it reinforced, maybe not to the most positive way, reinforced their sense that the inner circle is the circle. The loyal group in the middle is the group, and everyone else outside, someone who may make a mistake like Ms. Chavez did by being not quite so forthright, is someone who can easily be dispatched. I'm not sure that was the best thing for the Bush people, but it reinforced the idea that my team is my team and everybody else out there is alien to us.
But is that an ideological determination? Is the inner circle an ideological inner circle, or is it people just loyal to George Bush?
You know, Cokie, it is not ideological at all. That's not to say that these folks are not generally ideologically consistent with each other, but this is something about blood. The family unit in the middle is the most loyal circle, and then the group just outside, the Karen Hughes, Don Evans, Karl Rove, and others who've walked over hot coals over the years to prove their loyalty are part of this kind of extended family. It's not ideology. It's something really more mystical than that. That's what we're talking about.
You know, Bob, in looking again in my little perch in the rotunda over the weekend, looking at the family coming through, my first reaction was this is like the Kennedys. I mean, I haven't seen this many family members in a very long time. They just kept coming, family, family, family. But along with the family in that group were James Baker and Nicholas Brady. And I think that reinforces what Wayne is saying. This is not even official family. This is like courtesy uncles almost.
Yet there's some talk that the people around the president are not quite prepared for what they've gotten themselves into. How they've been handling that?
I do think that, and again, I'm curious to hear Wayne's take on this, because I do think that one of the things that we saw in the campaign was that tight circle around George Bush was very used to being able to control everything and control access to him, control schedules, operate in a way that is normally not possible in Washington, that things get out of control, that people have demands that have to be met, whether it's constituency groups, the Congress, or the press. And I think that they might be in for a bit of a shock there.
You know, Cokie, you have it exactly right. I mean, I've watched over the last 6 years of his governor's administration and during the 18 months of the campaign, and this whole control thing is very, very important and instinctive, both to Bush and his upper echelon. You're not going to see that now. It'll drive them crazy. It drives Karen Hughes crazy when things are happening that she can't control.
Wayne Slater of the Dallas Morning News and NPR's Cokie Roberts.